Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to your July 4th week. I don't know if it's a whole holiday week for you. I know a lot of people take vacation this week, but we're pleased because that means a lot of people are out of their regular routines and will catch the show for the first time, or we'll end up having extra affiliates like, say, Chicago and AM 670 The Score typically carries our show on holiday. So that's awesome. Excited to be here all week because there is a lot happening. Free agency fireworks, to be sure. Also, Wimbledon is starting and you've got the World Cup into its quarterfinals now. We're getting ready for that with all kinds of drama. There certainly is a lot happening in Major League Baseball. In fact, three of our four candidates for Man Crush Monday, hashtag MCM, come from the diamond. So we'll let you hear some highlights as we introduce those candidates to you if you have not already seen their incredible feats of strength from Sunday. So we got a lot to do this hour. I still want to take your LeBron calls and tweets and Facebook posts, though I'm also going to turn my attention to some of the other news that's happening and news that's breaking, news that's kind of shaking things up in the sports world. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.
Larkin lost it on the poke from Pollock, and here is John Tavares. Tavares weaves to the outside, scores! John Tavares wins it in the final game of the season.
John Tavares, the captain and the face of the franchise for the New York Islanders over the last 9 years. Brennan Burke on MSG with a game-winning goal. And he had 37 goals and 47 assists this past season, but for the second straight year, the Islanders did not make the playoffs. And in fact, in his 9 years since he was drafted number one overall by the Isles, that was 2009, they've only made the playoffs three times. You know, they've had more head coaches in his tenure with the Islanders than they've had playoff appearances. Nerd alert! So you can't really blame the guy for taking meetings with other teams as the league's top free agent, and certainly its top free agent center. This is a guy who had meetings all over the NHL. I saw the list. I'm not even going to go through all the list, but it included a lot of big-time franchises like the Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who've been prominent in the Eastern Conference in the last 5 years, San Jose, the Sharks, who were always in the playoffs and are still trying to get over the hump and win a Stanley Cup final. But his choice came down to his hometown team in a once-in-a-lifetime dream-come-true scenario, or something that would never be the team he grew up rooting for as a kid. The way that John Tavares announced his free agent decision was with a picture of himself as a kiddo wrapped up in a blanket that had the Toronto Maple Leafs logo all over it. And so on Canada Day, which was Sunday, July 1st, Tavares chooses to go home. It's not getting nearly as much attention as LeBron to LA, but it should. This is amazing. The 27-year-old, again, who is the captain and the face of the franchise, a five-time All-Star, calls it one of the most difficult decisions he's ever had to make. But I'm trying to come up with the right word to say it, with the stadiums back and forth, Barclays Center, which is not great for hockey, now going back to a kind of a rebuilt Nassau Coliseum. So they're splitting their home games in between two different arenas. it's not a franchise that has managed to put enough pieces around him so that they've become a contender. And here he has the chance to go back to Toronto, again, where he grew up as a Maple Leafs fan, and play with guys like Austin Matthews. And how about the 21-year-old Mitch Marner, who actually led the Maple Leafs in points last season? And so here's Tavares, who's in the prime of his career and has a chance to do what LeBron did with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He has a chance to get his hometown team, his favorite franchise, to the promised land to win a Stanley Cup. Can you imagine? Now, considering that it's Toronto and that he's from that city, it's on par with what LeBron did for the Cleveland Cavaliers in returning home and helping them to finally get that championship. And so here's Tavares departing the only franchise he's ever known, but he gets to live out this dream come true opportunity. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. He actually said, "I felt this opportunity was so rare. The timing of where the organization is at and the connection being from here. I really believe there's a big window here to win, to be part of something special. It just felt right." And the Leafs, of course, the last 2 years, it's been about this young, talented core who's trying to break through and get back to contender status. Now, they did have a franchise best 105 points last season.
Nerd alert!
But remember, they lost to the Bruins in 7 games in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, remember the year before that, they had 9 guys who were tasting the postseason for the first time. So you're talking about a relatively young core and Austin Matthews as a generational player and now Mitch Marner. And to be able to add John Tavares, who's in the prime of his career, not late in his career, like Patrick Marleau. And I love the Patrick Marleau signing. I felt like he brought some veteran stability, some wisdom, some experience to the Maple Leafs last year. That's where he is from. He left the Sharks, but he's at the end of his career. He's in his late 30s. That's not the case with Tavares. And they're giving him a fat contract too. 7 years, average annual value of $11 million. He actually passed up what could have been an 8-year deal with the Islanders because he needed extra time to make this decision. And then he chose the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I know there are a lot of Maple Leafs fans who are really excited about this. I'd love to hear from you. It's, 855-212-4227 to reach us on the phones, A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter, and also to take our Man Crush Monday poll, and then Facebook, as always. You can find us there as well. So this is kind of a neat story, I think, that should be getting more attention because we love this kind of nostalgia, getting the chance to go home again. I mean, that's one of the things that LeBron said when he announced his decision to return to Cleveland 4 years ago, yes, but also even as he moves on to L.A., what did he say? "Thanks for everything, Northeast Ohio. This will always be home." And so I love that part of it because it tugs at the heartstrings, at least mine. And I think it's really neat when an athlete has a tie to a place where he plays. That's why we loved the Mikal Bridges draft story in the NBA for, I don't know, about 5 minutes because his mom obviously worked for the Sixers. He's from that area. He played at Villanova, and we thought he was going to be the hometown kid, the rookie for the Sixers. But
moms,
alas, his mom is now disappointed. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So if you want to talk about the Maple Leafs, that would be great too. No one can accuse me of not talking about hockey. Let's see. Coming up on Monday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Monday evening, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. You can follow the inspirational stories of how the PGA Tour and its big-time players give back in a big way. That includes Bubba Watson's donation of his prize winnings to the same hospital where he was born. What are we just talking about going home again? And Ricky Fowler's efforts to rebuild homes destroyed in Hurricane Harvey. It's the PGA Tour 2018 for the good of the game presented by Ascension on CBS Sports Network. Also sounds like one in which you would need to get your tissues ready. Well, maybe your popcorn too, but your tissues, because it might also cause you to either get teary-eyed or decide that you want to pay more attention to golf, one or the other. And it's not just because of Tiger Woods. Maybe you might decide you want to watch some other guys too on the PGA Tour. Tiger, though, had a great Sunday that kind of kept his fans hooked. He posted a 66 at the Quicken Loans National, which is not a really competitive field. Okay, it's not one of the toughest that you're going to see on the PGA Tour.
Towards the green.
But he did fire this final round 66 to earn a tie for fourth on Sunday. He made six birdies. That is a combination of a birdie and a bogey. That's what happens when you talk too fast and your brain and your mouth are not in sync. So I was thinking about birdies, and I was also thinking about bogeys, and it came out like a celebrity marriage.
In my brain.
Six birdies and two bogeys, but finished 10 shots behind Francesco Molinari, who actually wasn't sure if he wanted to play in France or in D.C. to start last week and ended up going to D.C. instead and just had an incredible final round, 62, which was, let's see, about 40 degrees cooler than the temperature. Oh, my gosh. They were playing in D.C., which is having record hot temps like much of the United States. Anyway, one of the big things to come out of this is that Tiger changed putters and actually felt like things started to be a little more comfortable on the greens.
It feels good. I mean, it really does. I hit, even my bad putts still had the go-in look. You know, that's something that I haven't had. Even I was struggling there for a little bit, and I couldn't even cheer for my good ones. And so I'm seeing the lines again. I'm rolling the ball on my line. I've got the speed, and I really like the swing of this putter. I mean, I keep saying that, but I like feeling that toe move, and it makes a big difference.
All right, so a couple of things. As I mentioned, he has a new putter in his bag this week, and the good news is he tied Molinari for the most birdies during the tournament. The bad news is that he was still last in the field from putting inside 10 feet. Yikes, he only made 60 of his 73 putts from inside 10 feet. Now, you can always twist the stats around, right? So some of those guys didn't make the cut, and so then you kind of divide the field in half. But he was at least there playing on the weekend, and he had a nice surge on Sunday, even though he did miss a couple of putts that maybe could have put him closer to Molinari. And so there are good putts, there are bad putts, but he's trying to figure out this new club. And so we'll see. We've got the Open Championship coming up, another major. That one takes place in mid-July. And so there will be another chance for Tiger Woods fans to go gaga and see if maybe this is the year that he can get back in the win column. That was also taking place over the weekend. There's a lot taking place over the weekend. 855-212-4227. That's the phone number. I have to go record another CBS Sports Minute. If you don't mind, we're going to take a break. Also, maybe a retirement in the NFL. Maybe. Not officially, but it looks like we're going that way. One of the league's best defensive players over the last several years. And so we'll talk about that. And I want to take more of your calls, read more of your tweets about LeBron's departure to L.A. It's a little bit odd to see him photoshopped into a Lakers uniform, but this is a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs since the 2012-13 season, and that doesn't feel right either. And in that year, they were a 7 seed, and they were out pronto. This is the opportunity for L.A. to get back to prominence, and that's the NBA I grew up on. So I'm happy about it. I mean, I understand the bittersweet quality to it for Cleveland fans. They're glad they had him back. They're sorry to see him go, but this is, I think, good for the NBA as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
So many feels, not fish, which is what it sounds like to me still. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Two things I learned from my road trip. I will get to that coming up about 10 minutes. One of which I don't understand why it's so difficult for human beings, but I'll get to that. Let's talk to Brian, who's in North Carolina. Brian, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, this is I'm just here talking about this LeBron situation, and I think I called you maybe a month or so ago during the finals, and we was talking about the Jordan and LeBron debate and how it's like a fire. It goes out, and it always keeps coming back. And I'm just saying, like, right now, it started now, but if they get to the playoffs, they could get to the playoffs, and somehow they get he started playing some amazing game, which he will, because he's a great player. I'm not a LeBron hater. I just am a Jordan fan. But if they get close and say they meet in the Western Conference Finals or in the second round, it's going to be like the debate going to start again. And then, but then if he loses, it's going to be the coach's fault. It's going to be Magic's fault. LeVar Ball's dad, the players, he's playing with bums again.
LeVar Ball is the dad.
Yeah, it's going to be that again. Mm-hmm. But reason why I get annoyed by it, that 2 years ago, even though they had Durant, a lot of Cavs fans were saying Cavs in seven. Then after they lose, oh, it's not fair because they had Durant. But before the series, they were still saying Cavs in seven.
But you're really upset about what a bunch of fans were saying in 2017?
Well, I mean, I was. I'm just saying how like they all like they kind of contradict everything they say. Like,
who cares? Just ignore them.
It's just annoying, but it's like right on schedule. They get swept. It's not fair for the league. But before the series starts, Cavs fans or LeBron fans were saying Cavs instead. But then after they get swept, Dennis, he broke his so-called hand and all this stuff. But it's just annoying. It's annoying, but it's fun at the same time. So
I don't know one person that said Cavs in seven about this year's NBA Finals. Not one.
It was. It was some, but you know, then after the fact it changes. But it's I'm a fan of LeBron, but my thing is about that at the same time is that Kobe fans probably are going to be kind of mixed, and they're going like, so if he wins, it's going to be that, is he the greatest Laker and all that stuff? And then
wait,
if he loses,
are you sure? Because Kobe is welcoming him with open arms.
Yeah, I know, but I've seen a lot of people. If you gotta, you know, if you really like read him between the lines, yeah, they like him to win. But if he falls short, he's like, I see Kobe won five though.
Man, you drive yourself crazy with a bunch of people that you don't even know telling you what you should think about sports. Who cares, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not worth getting upset over. It's just a bunch of people yapping.
Yeah, I know. It's funny though, but okay. You know.
Also, I think it's okay to be a LeBron fan and a Jordan fan. It's possible.
No. Okay. I know. I don't get upset, but I just think it's how it is funny. People just always kind of they say one thing, then the 2020 hindsight, they go back and forget what they said. So,
dude, that's sports. It's what people do. It's just don't get upset over it. Do not lose any sleep over this. Who cares?
Hashtag who cares. Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, good.
Glad we got that cleared up. Thanks so much, Brian, in North Carolina. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Calgary. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how's it going?
Tremendous.
My cat's mad at me because she listens to you every night now. I had to shut the radio off so I could listen to you.
Your cat is mad at me?
She went and hid in the bedroom.
Am I too loud for her?
No, she loves you, but I turned the radio off so I could talk to you.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the Leafs, yeah, it's a great signing, Tavares. I'm a die hard Leaf fan. I watched them win the cup in 64 and 67, 64, 65, and 67. Mm-hmm. But what they needed was defense. Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner are their two top defensemen. You know what I mean? They got Matthews, they got Nylander, they got Marner, they got Marlowe. They got lots of offense, but no defense.
Well, they did lose James Van Riemsdyk and Tyler Bozak, though, and so they had to replace some of that.
Yeah, but you could have probably went out and got somebody. You could have re-signed Van Riemsdyk at a discount because he wants to
stay in
Toronto.
Well, who cares? First of all, it's not your money. Second of all, they didn't overpay for him, and they got one of the best in the game. I mean, they got a five-time All-Star, a guy who's from Toronto and understands what Leafs hockey is all about and why it's so important that they get back to the Stanley Cup Final. You got the perfect fit. Why would you want to settle for something less?
Well, I would rather have some defensemen.
Well, it doesn't mean they can't now add some defensemen.
They could, but next year they've got to sign Matthews, they've got to sign Marner, they've got to sign Nylander. Where's that money coming from? You know what I mean?
The money they make when they sell more tickets because...
No, the Leafs are sold out.
No, I was being facetious. I don't think...
You can't get a ticket to a Leaf game.
I got you, dude.
A Leaf game, lower bowl ticket,
I was joking! I was joking, man. I was joking.
Okay. Okay. But what I'm saying is they need... Maybe they could go after DeHaan from the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, he's
listen to this Leafs fan wants to pick apart the Islanders.
Yeah, why not? You know,
hey, you like, just told me you would prefer they didn't sign Tavares. So, man, you kind of lost all credibility with me.
No, I don't say it's a bad signing.
No, you said you'd prefer they sign someone else.
No, what I preferred was they got more defense.
Right, that they signed someone who was cheaper than Tavares instead of bringing John back.
Got James Neal.
No, man, I'm sorry. Like I said, you can get this guy, you get him. It's not even like you're breaking the bank for him.
Well, he's not leaving any money on the table, trust me. He'll get lots of... I'm from Canada, so I know he's going to get lots of endorsements in Toronto.
No, I got that, but that's not the point. The team doesn't pay for those endorsements. The team just pays for his salary. They got him at a competitive price.
What I'm saying is he's not losing money. People say, well, he left money on the table.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. People say people say nothing. Don't bring me the people say stuff to me, okay? You're now just changing your argument. You originally called me and said they should have gone for a cheaper option. I'm telling you they did not break the bank, and he's the best story, and they still have some money for defense.
No, they don't.
Okay.
How are they going to spend the money this year, and next year they got to sign Matthews? He's going to want $11 million a year. And then they got to sign Marner. Well, that's probably $6-7 million. Mm-hmm. And then Nylander, they might be able to do a bridge on him, say, $4 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking at almost $20 million going out the door again.
Mm-hmm.
So who can you sign?
I don't know. They're not done yet. They're like a day into it. And you're already burying them for next year.
I'm a diehard Leaf fan. I'd love to see the Stanley Cup in Toronto.
You're also a Debbie Downer.
Well,
it's supposed to be a really exciting day for Leafs fans.
Well, hey, I was happy to see them when they said it. And
I can
going,
hear that.
Okay.
I can
and
hear
most
that.
Of his money is in bonus money, so I don't know how this works with their cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, they had to write him a check this morning for $15.2 million.
It's very exciting. You should be happy for him.
Next year is $650,000.
Okay.
So I don't know how that works with him.
You don't need to.
In the NHL. I don't know how it works with bonus money. That's mm-hmm. basically what Stamkos did, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, this was fun.
Defenseman?
I have to break for an update. I hope you don't mind.
No. Thank you for talking to me, Amy.
Yes.
Love you. My cat loves you.
Interesting, because that's not what I heard on that phone call.
Arr.
Get off my lawn, defenseman. 855-212-4227. Okay, it's a good time to take a break. And then I'll tell you the two things I learned on my road trip. Plus, we are going to get to this defensive player who maybe is sending us a message that his football career is over.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
down to 5 seconds, down to four. Bell across half court. The Warriors start to celebrate. The one-time darlings are now a dynasty. The Golden State Warriors have won back-to-back NBA championships, and they have won 3 of the last 4 NBA titles. Final score, Warriors 108 and Cleveland 85.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in. That's the last time. Well, actually, maybe it's not the last time that we'll ever hear LeBron in a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform. You never know. This next deal is only 4 years with an option after 3. So there is a chance he could retire back in Cleveland. I mean, never say never. I've done that before and it doesn't always work out well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate your tweets as well. A-Law Radio. Let's see if we can work in another call here. Reynard is in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
Hey, Amy, I got maybe 3 things to actually add to this LeBron situation. Excuse me, I just got off work. I'm a bartender at a sports bar, so I get a lot of arguments thrown my way. So I hear okay. A lot of things about different situations thrown towards me. So you're going to like 3 of these things that I'm about to bring up. You might dislike them, but you're going to like them as far as just to bring up the meat of the actual entree.
All right, here, okay. Let's go.
LeBron going to L.A., this is going to happen. They are going to change the playoff format because the Western Conference is top-heavy now. The Eastern Conference is bottom-heavy.
Wait, when you say bottom, do you mean bottom? I don't. Do you mean bottom of the playoffs or do you mean bottom as in not in the playoffs?
I say bottom-heavy as far as, like, star power, marketability, you know, TV time, advertisement. All the stars are in the Western Conference right now.
All right, I mean, that's a little bit
it's
of
a different dynamic right now.
That's a little bit of a overstatement, in my opinion. However, I would agree with you that most of the stars, not all of them, but most of them, there certainly are more all-stars in the West than there are in the East. Now, it doesn't mean it can't change. Gordon Hayward has played a half a game, not even that, with the right. Celtics. Kyrie Irving hasn't been on the court in months. We don't know yet how these Philadelphia stars will develop, but it certainly seems like they're on the right track to be stars. So, yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that kind of stuff can change in a season.
All right. Okay. Let me ask you this. Okay, you do 8 teams on the Eastern Conference, 8 teams on the Western Conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're just a blind fan of the NBA, right, what teams are more identified right now?
Well, the Warriors.
Before LeBron even went to the West.
Right, no, the Warriors are certainly where it starts.
All right, so it's primarily the Western Conference teams, right? So now you have the person, in my opinion, I might be wrong, I might be right, but it's my opinion. What's the face of the Eastern Conference? Now you got the young guys, you know, you got your Philly, you got Boston, you got Miami, whenever they figure out what they're going to do down there, you got the Wizards, I don't know what they're doing with that situation. And Ashley, that's my team because I'm from Maryland. You got Milwaukee. You got the Greek Freak or whatever. But what I'm saying, like, entrees, not appetizers, entrees.
Okay, so Ray, you made your point about that, but you said this was like a bridge to something else. I get what you're saying. Yes, right now there are more high-profile players and all-stars in the West. It can change, though, right? Kawhi Leonard may very well end up in the Eastern Conference within a couple of months.
I agree with you.
Okay, so it can change. Okay, so then, all right, so we got that point. What's the next one?
Next point. Okay. LeBron, let me ask you this. This is a question for you. Is this a good thing for him to go to the Lakers, or is it a bad thing for him to go to the Lakers? Because when LeBron played for Miami, think about this. It was Dwayne Wade's team. Him and Bosh were there. You had fans, casual fans of NBA basketball that would say, this is when he's playing with Miami. Who is LeBron and them playing today. Do you think it's going to be the same tone when he plays the Lakers? I mean, when he's playing with the Lakers? Are people going to be like, who is LeBron and them playing today? Or are they going to be like, who the Lakers playing today? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to take over that franchise. He's not going to take ownership of that franchise. It's almost like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I actually heard a rumor online where so some of the shareholders or maybe primary ownership of the Cavaliers was like maybe it's a good thing and not a spiteful way for LeBron and Ashley who are away from the team, because Ashley, we can get ownership of the team back now. See, now, they own the team financially, but like as far as just the aura, the owner doesn't own a team.
Okay.
There's certain franchises that no matter who is on that team, the franchise is the franchise. You are a cowboy.
I got you. Yes, and the Lakers are one of those franchises. And I'm sorry that we have to let you go because it's been a five-minute phone call. I'm not sure what the question was, but I would agree with you if what you're saying is that the Lakers transcend LeBron as opposed to LeBron transcending the Lakers. Yes, there have been many more superstars, Hall of Famers, who've been before him, who've laid the groundwork, who've won those 16 championships. Shaquille O'Neal was a really high-profile free agent that won rings there, right? And so LeBron is joining a long and storied tradition, an incredible heritage franchise. I mean, they're one of the most recognizable, marketable franchises in sports. They have made the playoffs since 2012-13, and it's weird. So, yes, LeBron is joining that parade, but for the time that he's there, he is going to make that even more exciting. I mean, there have been already reports of ticket sales shooting through the roof, and that right now the cheapest, I thought I read this, the cheapest that you can get into Staples Center for a Lakers game is like $550. I mean, that's, even for Hollywood, that's steep.
Take that for data.
And this is just the beginning. So on StubHub, right after the LeBron announcement, the cheapest Lakers season tickets, okay, were $3,500 right before the announcement. And then after the announcement, the same season tickets, $5,800. Okay,
wow.
So in the span of a mere minutes and a LeBron announcement, the season tickets soared. And again, I saw that the cheapest ticket to get into Staples Center, not season tickets, but the cheapest single game ticket was $550. And that's without your taxes and fees. So LeBron has that effect on the Lakers, just like the Lakers have an effect on LeBron. 855-212-4227. Okay, so we'll get to some of your calls after the top of the hour, but I've been teasing this, and so I want to make sure I throw this out there because this is a really big deal. Seahawks safety Cam Chancellor, while he did not use the word retire, issued a series of tweets in which it seems like he has made the decision to move on and that he's not going to be playing football anymore. Now, you remember the neck injury. He's only 30 years old, so this is certainly premature for a guy who's been so incredible at his position at safety and part of that Legion of Boom and one of the guys that really has been a hallmark for Seattle over the last couple of years and getting to a couple of Super Bowls. And I mean, he brings the intensity and the fight and obviously the really hard hits. But he got injured in November making a tackle against the Cardinals, I believe it was, and he missed the last few games of the season. And he's had multiple tests on his neck and on his physical body to see how the healing process is coming along. And on Sunday, he said the, quote, final test, that's his phrase, not mine, the final test of his injury showed no healing. And so he goes on to say, to walk away from the game by choice is one thing. To walk away from the game because of the risk of paralysis is another. And so we know we've had guys in the past who've dealt with neck injuries. Think about Peyton Manning and how many surgeries he had and how many times people said, hey, one more hit and he could be paralyzed for life. Now, he came back. He played. Thankfully, that did not happen. But in the case of Cam Chancellor, the doctors are telling him there's been no more progress with his healing. And so there is the risk of paralysis. And he says that the stiffness in my neck and the images that I saw had me at one of my lowest points as a man, because football is all I knew outside of serving the Lord. And then he says at the end of this, I hope that you'll go and you'll read his tweets. He says at the end of this, P.S. pray for your boy. I have no clue how these head injuries will go after the game. I mean, thinking about our recent conversation with Nick Boynton and how the repeated hits to the head that he himself knew were taking an effect on him over the course of his career, but he decided it was worth the paycheck and it was worth the time playing the sport that he loved, even when he didn't really love it anymore. He knew that this is what he was supposed to be doing, or he thought it was. And so he kept leading with his head, and he kept fighting, and he kept enforcing. Well, here's Cam Chancellor, who has this one injury that kind of brings his career to a grinding halt. And he'd even said as recently as May that as long as he was healthy, he would continue playing, even with this scary moment and this really scary injury. And so this guy was willing to put his body on the line and thought nothing about it until now. But now he's come face to face with the reality that his neck is not healing, and he's thinking about, wow, what about all those hits to the head? What about everything I put that part of my body through? And you hear the stories and you know about the extremes, the mood swings, the depression, the anxiety, the anger, the angst, and in the worst cases, guys taking their own life. And so now here he is facing that and wondering, is that going to happen to me? And again, he doesn't say retiring, but he does talk about walking away from the game. I mean, we just heard from Pete Carroll at the end of the Seahawks season. And, he said that Chancellor and Cliff Avril, too, would have a hard time playing football again, but that they were working their way back to the Seahawks, if at all possible. So we'll see if we get something more definitive from Cam Chancellor, but this was really sobering to see and to know that this is what he's struggling with, choosing between the game he loves and his career and a risk of paralysis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.